Hallelujah. Well, I just want to let you know, I feel, seriously, my wife will tell you that I can be brutally honest, and I don't say things that I don't mean, but I really feel at home. The messianic worship, awesome. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I just want the worship team, I'm going to kidnap you and take you back to Wyoming. Really, I just, I don't know what to say about myself, but I'm just blessed to be a child of God. I never get over the thrill of what it is to be a Christian. I'm always amazed how Christ died for me. It just never, ever grows old. And I'm so thankful. So my wife and I, my wife Diana, I always ask her, do you want to say something? She never wants to. It's not that. It's just that she's the silent partner of the ministry. My wife is an awesome intercessor. She makes sure that she spends quality time with God every day. She has a job which I want to say she just does voluntarily. She gets paid for it, but she does it because she wants to, not because she has to. But she makes sure every day that she has quality time with God alone. And when I say alone, I mean alone. When she goes into a prayer room and she shuts the door, I'm not allowed in there. She has to be alone with God. And so I'm so grateful for her. We've been married 49 years this year. We have served the Lord since 1976, yeah? And God has just taken us different places, done different things. Hallelujah. But I also have a messianic background. I'm actually Jewish. My father was a Jew. So our church, although it is fully Gentile, we follow the Feast of the Lord on April the 9th. Every year we have an annual Passover Seder. We have the meal. We follow a Haggadah, which we do every year, just to present Christ as He is, because He is our Passover. The Bible says Christ is our Passover. And wherever we can, we do the other feasts, because they're not Jewish feasts. Leviticus 23 says they are the feasts of the Lord. And so I just believe that what's in the Bible is what we should do. So without wanting to offend anybody, we don't do a lot for Easter. We don't do a lot for Christmas. We do acknowledge them, because there's a world out there that doesn't understand what we believe, what we feel. So that's what we do. And it's just a joy. I want to tell you, I really, from the moment, the atmosphere in this place is just incredible. And from the moment we started to worship, the presence of the Lord just touched me. I know you never want to go and tell a place, man, you're the worst church I've ever been in, you know. But the atmosphere here was just incredible. Yes, please. Are you going to drink my water? Can I have this water?
Yes,
I brought water and my wife's drinking it. That normally happens. Sorry. So enough about me. All right. If you'd open your Bibles, let's turn to the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I want to read some scripture and then I want to speak what I feel. It could be deemed an end time message, because there's no doubt we are living in the end times. I don't know how it touches you here in Australia, but in America, with things that are going on right throughout the community and every different area of society, it's obvious that when I first got saved back as an adult in 1970, everything was about the end times. Every Bible study you went to was on the book of Revelation. And that waned, the enthusiasm for that. But it's coming back, because I really believe we're really, really at the end times, in the end times. And the coming of the Lord is very soon. And so whatever you believe, I'm not here to challenge that or can question that. I'm here to tell you that Jesus is coming soon. And honestly, we had better be ready and not pretend that we are, but really be ready for his return. And so I have a word this morning I believe the Lord wants me to share with you, obviously with that in mind, and what our place is in the end times, because we have a work to do for the kingdom of God. Okay, so let me read, because I don't want to preach half my message, or I often get through the introduction before I even read the Word of God, and I want to pray too. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, or 2 Corinthians chapter 5, hallelujah, verse 11, from there. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your conscience. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on your behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. For all things are of God, who hath reconciled us unto himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now when we are ambassadors for Christ, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For as he hath made him to be sin for us, he who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Father, it's so important, Lord, that we hear from God. Lord, I understand that you call men. You call people to wait upon you. You call people to hear the word of the Lord. You call people, Lord, to share it, to expound it, to explain it under the unction and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. But Father, we still always need your help because of the inadequacy so many of us feel when we stand to declare, thus saith the Lord. So, Father, I pray, God, that this morning would be no exception. That, Lord, you would come in the name of Jesus and that you would minister to us, Lord. And that the word that is brought forth would be the word of God. And that, Lord, you would confirm the word in some way with signs following. So that, God, we will know that we have heard from the living God this morning. So we bless you, Lord. We commend the word to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:17, well-known verse of Scripture. One thing I've learned over the years, too, is that often we take a verse of Scripture and we quote it, and we find if we look at it, we quote it out of context. So I always try. I'm really focused in the latter years of my ministry to make sure that what I'm saying is actually in context. For example, Romans 8:28, for all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. But we miss the context of that because we fail to quote verse 29, which gives us the reason why Romans 8:28 is functioning. For him he did foreknow and did predestinate to become the image of his son. That was a pure, I don't know why it slipped my mind, but that was a pretty poor quotation. But the whole thing, everything's working together in your life, is so that you can become more like Christ. Because that's what we're supposed to be doing. We live in a world today where the church has been more and more and more embracing the world. And that's what I want to talk to us about this morning. And less being what it is, which is the body of Christ. Something that is separate from the world. And when we look into 2 Corinthians 5:17, what we see is the purpose of God in establishing our understanding of what our testimony should be. Our testimony is not just much about, well, on this day, I could give you my testimony. It would take me quite a long time because it encompasses quite a few years. But that's not the same as if I can say my testimony is this, that by the grace of God, He is turning me into the image of Christ. Because it's the image of Christ that's going to make a difference in the lives of people. Not whatever miracles you've done, whatever you've accomplished. I mean, it's all about what people see when they look at you. And that's developed not just on a Sunday morning in church. It's developed in your closet situation alone with God. It's developed in your whole lifestyle and how you live. And the more you embrace the world, the less people will see of Christ in your life. And if you look at 2 Corinthians 5:17 again, old things have passed away. See, it's important for us. We like to, and I'm thankful to God. One of the passages of scripture that really framed my life is Psalm 103:1-5. And there's five things in there that definitely frame my life and my experience in Christ. But when you look, I look at my life, and I'm going to tell you, the day after I got born again as a young adult, my old things passed away. It was almost immediate. And then the next thing, all things became new. And that has been an ongoing process in your life. If you look and you examine your life, you find that that's true. And so we began a pilgrimage, the Lord and I, with the work of the Holy Spirit in my life, as I became a new creature and all things became new. And over the years, I began to discover that that's what the people needed to see. They didn't need to know about my old life. They need to know about the life I'm living now. Of course, I can underline it with a testimony of what I was. But I don't really want to remember what I was before I got born again, because I like who I am now, even with all its struggles and difficulties. And so in this day that we live, these are things that I believe God by the Spirit, because I think sometimes also what we forget is that the Holy Ghost is always working. He's working in a world that looks hopeless. And actually, nothing, you know, I don't want to be a prophet of doom. I really believe that we ought to stand and be the body of Christ. But we need to be the body of Christ where God wants us to be. But nothing's going to get better in this world that we live in, because it's coming to an end. You understand that the world system is coming to an end because Christ is coming. Hallelujah. And whatever your eschatological theory is, it doesn't matter. There is a millennium kingdom that's going to be set up where He's going to rule and reign for 1,000 years. And this present system will no longer exist, because it is a system that is entirely ruled and controlled by the devil himself, by Satan. And God is going to bring it to an end, because God has a plan. So I'm always praying, Lord, I need to step in line with your plan. I don't want to be aside. I don't want to be praying against what you're allowing to happen, because I want it to happen and I want it to come as quickly as we come to an end. So when we look at things passing away, yes, we look at things becoming new. That's what people need to see. There's a world out there that is lost, and they don't need to see a bunch of Christians trying to be like them. They need to see a bunch of Christians trying to be like Christ. And what the Lord showed me, I'm going to share a thought with you, and it is a thought as we look at our end time testimony. Okay, that what's coming. You see, I don't know, being understanding the feasts of the Lord. There's a last in gathering of souls that is coming. It's on its way. I believe there are revivals popping up all over America. Revivals that are not being run by some well-known evangelist or prophet. Revivals that are just happening because the Holy Ghost is on the move. And I believe that coupled with that, that in gathering is what I've decided to declare as a baptism into sanctification. Okay, now it's not in the Bible. Hallelujah. I'm not going to make a new doctrine over it. I'm not going to write a book. Okay, I'm just going to tell you that the church today is not as sanctified as God expects it to be. And I also believe this too, that if you want to know what the end church really looks like, go read the book of the Acts. Jesus said he's coming back in like manner for the same situation that he left. And when we look at the church and we realize that prophetically we're living in the days of Laodicea in the book of Revelation, it's shocking. But the Holy Ghost is working. And he's calling the church to a new place of sanctification, to an understanding that this is not our world. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. And so neither should ours be. So when we continually embrace the world and that's what we become. And we lose the revelation of Christ that God wants us to have in our life. And God is going to call out the church. It's coming. And I know maybe you wanted to hear a nice word of encouragement, but I hope you'll find this encouraging, because we need to hear it. We need to hear that God is calling the church in these last days to a biblical level of sanctification, to a church that has a biblical worldview, not a worldly worldview, not a political worldview, but a biblical worldview. I want my view of things to be framed by the Word of God. I know what's going on. I believe we should be a voice for righteousness. I believe that we should stand for truth. I believe all those things, but at the end of the day, I also believe that we need to fall in line with what God is doing in the end times and just be who God wants us to be, so that as Christ is seen in us, we begin to see a turn of people coming to Christ. People don't need what they already have. They need what we have to give them. Hallelujah. Silver and gold have I none, said Peter, but such as I have give I unto you. And I believe we need that as believers, that our testimony needs to be something that makes people realize that they need to repent and turn from their sin. Because if they don't, you know, they're going to end up in the lake of fire at the end of it all. That's where they will end up. They'll stand. And there's a lot of people today who think they're safe, and they're nowhere near it, because they'll stand one day and the Lord will say to them, well, did you do this, this, and this? Is his name in the book? And I think the worst thing that I could hear would be, depart from me, you who are cursed. I never knew you. So I want to encourage you to allow God to work, because I believe that we pastor a little church. We have 11 people, adults. God does miraculous things to keep us there. But the Lord gave me a word. In a little town of 3,500 people, and most people think that's not possible. But I don't look at the end. I look at where I am today. I believe that we're going to have a church of 1,000 people who are saved and sanctified in our little town. Because that's what God said. He gave me a word out of Isaiah 60. And the last verse of Isaiah 60 says, this little one will become 1,000. And this small group a strong nation. and the Lord will do it in His time. And we have been praying and we've been seeking God, and it's going to happen. And we have to be willing, you know, to let God work in our lives. We just need to be who we are. You know, we really do. And we just need to be like Elisha. Elisha is one of my favorite. I have so many of them, but he is. Because of Elisha's humility. Do you know that Elisha served Elijah about 10 years before he took the mantle? And the Bible says, it talks about Elijah, how he poured water on Elijah's hands for 10 years. No one ever knew it. And you know, and also when you go and you see the call of Elisha, when Elijah comes to call Elijah, Elijah took his mantle and he threw it over Elisha. But it took 10 years of faithful commitment and separation to the cause of serving Elijah before Elisha came to the full realization of the anointing that God had promised him. It took 10 years, and he did. You don't hear anything of him. You don't hear him whining. You don't hear him saying, "Well, I never got asked to preach this week. I never got asked to do this. I never got asked to do that." You just see him serving God. That's all I read in the silence of the scriptures between the call of Elisha and to when he sees Elijah being taken up and the mantle falls and it becomes his in its entirety and with a double portion. All because he was willing just to be committed and to be set aside without any fear. He trusted God, you see. And I think that's a lot of the problem too, is that we end up not trusting God, that this is what happens to us. Hallelujah. I usually read a lot more scripture when I'm preaching, but it takes time. Hallelujah. And I have to tell you, and I don't say this to, but I understand, I want to stick to some time because I probably don't speak for less than an hour back home. You know, but that's America, and my folk have learned to tolerate me. They love me enough. Whenever I say, "Okay, this will be a short message," they all roll their eyes back and go, "All right." Hallelujah. But the simple answer, hallelujah, to the power of sanctification is to learn to walk in the Spirit. You know, these things are in the scriptures. You know, Galatians, walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. But how much of that do we really embrace? How much of that do we really lay hold of? How much of that do we really let function in our lives? And I have to tell you that for the majority of believers, they don't. People just don't. And maybe it's our fault, those of us that stand behind pulpits. Maybe we don't share that enough. Maybe we don't, people understand that enough. But the power of sanctification is what's going to make a difference in the end times. When people look and see, wow, who are those people? Oh, that's the body of Christ. They don't look like us at all. I know we all have to go to Woolies and buy our clothes or whatever. Wherever you buy your clothes. You know, whatever. I mean, that's not what... It's what's manifesting out of your heart. What's manifesting out of your soul. That's what God is interested in. You know, not out of our flesh. I don't want people to see me after the flesh. Paul talks about knowing people after the Spirit and not after the flesh. Because the flesh accomplishes nothing for us as believers. Hallelujah. That's why I believe there's going to be an increase in signs following everywhere. And it's going to be because of the greater level of sanctification that's coming to the Church of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So I will turn to Matthew chapter 7. I like to read it. But Jesus, you know, and I want to tell you, what I love about reading this is that the words are in red. Hallelujah. So you can't come and say, "How dare you say that?" You need to take notice. Okay? We don't take notice of what Jesus says so much. Hallelujah. And this is what Jesus said in Matthew 7:13. Hallelujah. Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it. Just listen to those words. The straight gate, the narrow gate. That's the gate we need to look for. But people opt for the wide gate. Do you know, there is the narrow way and there is the wide way. And you can't just blot it out and you can't. And what the church has tried to do, I believe over years, has tried to widen the narrow way. Make it easier. You know, make it easier. It may not be the easiest thing to be direct in our witness, you know, but I have to tell you that there are things in witnessing that just simply don't work. And we have to learn to tell people what their fate is if they reject Christ, what they need to do to inherit eternal life instead of tiptoeing through the tulips. Thinking they're going to get saved if we're like just gentle all the time. People need to know what's coming in eternity. And let me tell you something. The lake of fire doesn't have any exit signs. And the presence of God will not be there. And so we need to tell people about the narrow gate. And we need to tell Christians about the narrow way. And I also believe this, and these are just thoughts, and I always tell people, I'm not making a doctrine and I'm not going to write a book. Because people get a verse, they write a book and they retire. That would be nice to do. But I believe that the narrow way is getting narrower. We have to decide what choices we're going to make. We have to decide how much we're going to let the world influence us. And let me tell you something. We have everything at our disposal, especially this, that really influences us. Oh, and I can be as bad as everybody else. This is not a blessing. It's a curse. But let me tell you one thing about this I came to learn, okay? When I was a young Christian and we had a man come and he taught on the book of Revelation. And he made a statement, said, one day everybody will be able to see the Antichrist. And I went, yeah, right. I mean, we still had we actually by then had a push button telephone, which was like a miracle of technology back then. But today, do you know that there are people in the rice fields and the rice paddies of China receiving the word of God? Because they've got one of these. Do you know that this is how the Antichrist is going to speak to the world all at once, all at the same time? Because more and more and more, if you're honest, the world is beginning to control these things more than ever before. Things come up on my phone, I go, what? When I applied for our visas to come, this time it was just download the Australian ETA app, you know, answer the questions. Hold your phone. Don't even put it on. You don't even have to put it on selfie. You just hold your phone like this in front. And somewhere in Australia, they took our photograph. Because the world is going to control things in the end. Because Antichrist is going to come. He's coming. Hallelujah. I don't believe we'll be here. Those that are ready for the coming of the Lord. I've got a couple of things I want to say about that and then I'll close. So I just want to encourage you today. You need to find a new walk in Christ. Like we've had to. I try to find it every day of my life. There are times I just get before God and I say, God, are we good? You know, really, because I don't want to miss this. And I'll tell you why in a second. So I want to encourage you. that find the narrow way and walk the narrow way, because it's the narrow way that leads to life. And it's not just life now, it's eternal life. I mean, this life is so short and so insignificant. We don't want to miss. We want to learn to walk in the Spirit. And we'll do that if we walk in the narrow way. So I just want to close with these thoughts, and I hope it's not going down a rabbit trail. And then, if you don't mind, and we always say that, well, if you mind, I want to speak the blessing over you, not as a benediction, but as a blessing. The Aaronic blessing of Numbers chapter 4. But Jesus is coming, and you know something? This is what I believe. See, I'm a different sort of end time believer, eschatological believer. I believe that if there's a pre-tribulation rapture, I believe that's it for the Gentile nations. I don't believe that there's a second chance for Gentiles on the other side of the removal of the church, because that's the time of Jacob's trouble. That's the time of dealing with Israel and the Jewish people. Now, you don't have to agree with me. It's a personal commitment. I share it, but I'm not dogmatic about it. You know, because I do believe that in all things we could be wrong. And the reason I say that is because in every interpretation, whether it be, however, okay, when people talk about the rapture, you always find there's a bunch of people left behind running about doing this and doing that. And I wonder why people are going to get left behind. I tell you why, it's because they're not walking in the Spirit. Now, I don't mean to scare you, but if I scare you into seeking God and deepening your walk with Christ, I just got to say amen to that. Hallelujah. I'm happy to do it. If I frighten the life out of you so you'll go home and get before God alone and open your Bible and begin to seek God and begin to allow the Word of God to become part of your being and permeate your being and be the very thing, the only thing you live for, and that you don't allow secular things to always just bombard you and take over, then I will feel I've accomplished something. Hallelujah. But I'm here in the hope that it will be the Holy Ghost that will accomplish everything that He wants to this morning. Hallelujah. So let me read to you first Thessalonians chapter 4, and then I'll give you my little punchline, and then I'll pray, and hallelujah. If the Lord leads, then we'll see. Maybe we'll have a little bit of altar call, if that's all right with the pastor. Verse 15 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. For this say we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. You know, there are people that tell you the rapture isn't going to happen. It doesn't. It's not biblical. I've had people tell me, they've tried to explain to me why there is no rapture. And I'm like, you know, and they use all the Greek words and the Hebrew words and everything you can imagine, okay? But you know, the Bible wasn't written for just Hebrew and Greek scholars. It was written for simple people like me who didn't understand any more than what was written. And so he says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Hallelujah. So here's what I want to tell you. What I personally believe the Holy Spirit spoke to me about one day. Hallelujah. And why I share it, even though I share it with the idea that you don't have to agree with me. I believe that these three things that are vocal, the shout of the Lord, the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, will only be heard in the Spirit. They will not be heard in the flesh. And the only people that will hear them are the people that are endeavoring. And I use the word endeavoring not as a cop-out, not to let us off the hook, because I know how difficult it is to be a Christian. I know how difficult it is to walk in the Spirit. I know how difficult it is, a day by day, continual battle. See, I know. But I believe that the only people that are going to make it are the people who are hearing these three things in the Spirit. Now, hallelujah, when the Lord told me that, it made an immediate difference to some of the things that I was allowing in my life. They weren't bad things, but they were distracting things. If the devil can distract you from your relationship with Christ, he's going to get you. And so, you know, I always tell people, you may not, I'll close. Christianity is hard work. When the times when I don't want to get up when God calls me and go into my prayer room and get alone with God and read the Word, when I just rather lie in bed or go turn on the television and watch my favorite football team. But I want to make it. Because I got one shot at this, in my opinion. And it goes too, because I'm at an age where I'm living on borrowed time, man. God can call me any day and I'm ready. I'm happy, absent from the body, is present with the Lord. I really can say I'm ready to go. I don't want to, because I'd like to do a whole lot more for the kingdom of God. And that's genuine. That's a genuine sentiment of my heart. But I'm ready and I want to be ready when Jesus comes. And I really want to encourage you to be ready when Jesus comes. You don't want to miss it, folks. Really. You don't want to miss it. You want to make sure. And so I just encourage you. Every day of my life, I encourage my wife, same thing, every day. Every day. Lord, I want to make sure I'm ready. Hallelujah. Lord, help me to walk a pure and a holy life. I tell you why I want to be holy. Because God says, be holy as I'm holy. I tell you why I want to be perfect. Because God says, be perfect as I am perfect. God is so hard. But thank God for grace. That's where grace kicks in. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Shabakando, let's pray. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Shabakarabatiyando. Thank you, Lord. I don't know if there's anybody wants to. Well, let's just do this. Maybe we won't have a formal altar call, but maybe just where you are, let's just have a minute or two of just reflection and meditation and allow the Holy Ghost to bring conviction into your life. There's nothing better than the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Nothing. Because it keeps us on the narrow way. It keeps us in that place we need to be with God. Because you see, as much as I want to make it, God wants me to make it more than I do. And when I think about what Jesus did to facilitate that, I have to tell you, I just want it to be. So let's just take a minute just to reflect, meditate, hallelujah, and to respond to the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. finest, not my finest. Thank you. One last thing. One of the things I do, I don't know if any of you have heard of Esther Mew. Have you heard of Esther Mew? Esther Mew, have you heard of her? She's a Malaysian sister in America, and she writes music to scripture. Oh, incredible. And so one of the things I love to do, I just, in the mornings at night, I just go get it on YouTube. Hallelujah. Where would we be without YouTube? And I just play it. And you've got the Word of God just coming into your heart the whole time. Hallelujah. Maybe something you could, it just blesses me. So let me, if I may, not as a benediction, but just as the blessing. Aaron was told to speak the blessing of Israel. And so I do that everywhere I go and I'm able. Hallelujah. So maybe I could ask you to stand to do it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yevarechacha Adonai v'yishmerecha. Ye'eh Adonai p'nav aleka v'yichvineka. Yesar Adonai p'nav aleka v'yosom leka shalom. B'shem Yeshua HaMashiach. Sa shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of Jesus, the Messiah, the Prince of Peace. And may the name of the Lord Jehovah rest upon you today and forever. In the name of Yeshua, Amen.